Our week-long series on healthcare on KMUW continues this morning with a discussion with Dr. Charles Fox, Associate Dean in the College of Health Professions and Associate Professor in the Department of Public Health Sciences at Wichita State University. I asked Dr. Fox, what are the main areas we should address first?
I think what we need to address is the misnomer. We talk about having a healthcare system in the United States, and we don't have a healthcare system. And we don't have a healthcare system for two reasons. One is it's not a system. What we have is a loose conglomerate of business models for medical care. And the other misnomer is our system has nothing to do with healthcare. It has to do with managing disease and trauma. It has nothing to do with wellness, with being healthy, with palliative care, or any of these other things.
Health insurance, of course, is the aspect a lot of us think about. What do you think we should do with the insurance angle of it?
Health insurance clearly is not working in the United States. My statistics are probably a little bit old, but I think we spend about 15% of our gross national product on healthcare, health insurance, and so on. Yet we still have about 40 million people uninsured. We still have about 20 million people underinsured. And because our health insurance is based on our jobs, in any given year, about a quarter of the people in the United States, working people in the United States, for all or part of the year, don't have health insurance.
There are a lot of different constructs people have come up, a single-payer plan, having the government basically be the insurance company, statewide group health plans. Do any of those sound appealing to you?
This is entirely a personal decision, but I favor the government providing health care, and I do that for two reasons. One is I spent about 5 years as a VA doc. A lot of people criticize the care given at the VA system, but one thing that is for sure is it really is a medical system. I was in five separate states providing care, and people got equivalent care no matter where they went. Where if you base it on state like the Massachusetts policy or the Oregon policy, if you move across state lines, your chance of getting equivalent care is non-existent. I really do think that the government has the capability of doing something like this, whether it be using a VA model, whether it be using a Medicare or a Medicaid model. And they all have problems, but I think the problems are much less than you would find in other systems.
Do you think we treat healthcare in this country too much as a commodity rather than as a right?
Well, definitely there is no right to healthcare in the United States, other than the Social Security Act, which said that if you are old, you can get Medicare, and if you are very poor, you can get Medicaid. But that is the only legal right to healthcare in this country. So we do treat it as a commodity. We don't treat it as a right. But in fairness, I don't think our citizens, the U.S. citizenry, has ever decided whether this is a right or not. I think the conversation has to be started. Because if it becomes a right, then you have issues like you're competing with all the other social programs, education, defense, everything else. And at what level is the right? Do you get a right to minimum care? Do you get a right to everything you could possibly need? Do you get a right to catastrophic care? Where do these rights come in? So it becomes a very complicated conversation, but so far we've avoided it and we can't any longer.
NPR's Morning Edition had a series not too long ago. They went to, five different European countries, I think Sweden, England, France. They found someone in one of these countries that had an ailment of some kind and found someone here that was comparable and compared the care they received. One of the things that struck me was that in almost every case, I believe they said, it costs that country much less for health care. But it's much more universal, and people don't have to worry about being bankrupted. People don't have to worry about a pre-existing condition. And it seems like if they're able to do all that for that much less money, there's a very pragmatic reason to look into something like that.
Yes, definitely. But they have, at least to some extent, addressed some of the issues I alluded to a moment ago. For example, if you go to England and you need kidney dialysis, it might be very difficult to get it. And you're not going to get it on your convenience schedule. Just a personal story. I have a very dear friend of mine named Gail, who is a nurse practitioner. So she's an active healthcare provider. And she has to worry now because she was offered a new job, one that she really wants to do. And she has a chronic health condition. And if she shifts jobs, it will be a year before her insurance will cover it again. And this is someone who is a healthcare provider. We do need to look at the European models. We need to have the conversations they had. But we also need to be aware of the downsides of both our model and the more European models.
Do you get the sense that there is a feeling in the medical community that changes are coming?
I think the medical community knows that changes have to come. I'm a healthcare provider myself, and 8 years ago, I left private practice. I have a whole group of friends who have left private practice because it's becoming very difficult to provide the type of care that you went into healthcare for under the current business models that we have. So either change has to come or the whole system's going to fall apart.
You did mention before, too, another important thing was create, I guess, healthy lifestyles as opposed to just treating illness. Could you run over some of the main points of that, Bruce?
Well, not only healthy lifestyles, we also need to include that in insurance. Many healthcare plans don't cover annual exams. They don't cover preventive exams. But we also do need to take personal responsibility. For the people on the radio, I'm actually 6 foot tall. I weigh 160 pounds. No, that's not true at all. I'm overweight. And it affects my health. You know, because of busy lifestyles and so on, I've been ignoring that. And it's only been for the last year or so that I've really been paying attention to it. And I've noticed my health has gotten better. And everyone needs to do that. And we need to do it in our schools. We need to raise healthy children. So all of those things, we need to take better care of our blood pressure. We need to take better care of our cholesterol. We need to look at how we live our lives. And the government or the insurance companies, whoever's going to manage our care, needs to put into place incentives for these things.
This happened to me, kind of brought home to me, if you don't have access to care for whatever reason, no insurance or whatever. Mm-hmm. I was living in the village of Yellow Springs in Ohio, and this is a number of years ago, and I had a medical problem pop up. And I was calling around to every doctor and clinic, and it's a small place, so that didn't cover a whole lot of phone numbers. Nobody was accepting new patients. Mm-hmm. I couldn't get taken care of until it got so bad I went to an ER.
Yes. Much of that is a byproduct of managed care. I don't know how many people know this, but managed care often says to a doctor, we will pay you X amount of dollars, and you will see the members of our managed care plan. So if you see 10, you might make money on the plan. If you see 100 patients, you're going to lose money on the plan because you don't get additional money for that. And so you often will cap your practice. The other thing simply is that as more and more providers are leaving healthcare provision and they're going and doing other things, there are fewer and fewer healthcare providers. And for their own sanity, they say, I can handle a 2,000 patient practice. And when I reach 2,000 active patients, I stop seeing patients. Fortunately, in the big cities, and I include Wichita in that, usually you might not get the provider you want, but you can find someone. But in smaller towns, for example, for a while, I practiced in rural New Hampshire. I was the only eye doctor for a two-hour drive in any direction. So if I capped my practice, people had no option.
Thank you so much for being with us once again on Morning Edition. We've been talking to Dr. Charles Fox, Associate Dean in the College of Health Professions and Associate Professor in the Department of Public Health Sciences. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Frank.
Our healthcare series concludes tomorrow morning. We'll hear from Dr. Stephen Schroeder, former president and CEO of the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, on obstacles to health reform. You can find all the interviews from this series on our website, KMUW.org.